pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Morning. Morning, County Board of Supervisors. This is November 2nd, 2021. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have an agenda.
Department heads, elected officials. Terry Johnson, Vermont County Auditor.
Good morning. We've got the city school election going on today. The polls opened at 7 a.m. and they will be open till 8 p.m. tonight. We ended up with 300 absentee or early voting ballots, and it looks like we sent out 307. 300 have been returned. Three of those are canceled, voided, so they still show up in our count. And so we have four outstanding ballots. So hopefully those show up today.
Those could be turned in at your office.
We either need to get them in the mail today, or they need to be turned into the office by 8 p.m. tonight in order to be counted. So if they come in tomorrow, they won't be counted.
But if they're postmarked today?
No.
Oh, so they have to be postmarked yesterday?
They had to be postmarked yesterday, but I don't expect the mail to get it here in one day. But we just have those four ballots, so we'll be working on those this afternoon and counting those, but we're up and running anyway. The girls have been out running around to a few places, but...
One more day.
Yep, one more day. One more day.
Thank you, Terry. Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Sunday night, we did the safe trick-or-treat over at the auditorium. The Burlington Police Department sponsors. It was a good time. Not as many kids, I think, as in years past, but that makes sense. Plus, the weather was pretty nice to be actually outside trick-or-treating. Other than that, we're just staying busy. We're down to 5 jury trial dates before our January 31 timeline for all COVID waivers. So Chris Scarborough, the other felony attorney, and I are basically, for all intents and purposes, are trying to work out the cases we can and then get the top few cases that we know we want to try, that we need to try. Some significant personal injury cases and those sorts of things, to get them set for those dates that we have available. Other than that, we're just staying pretty busy.
Thanks, Lisa. Colin Gerst, IT.
Just keeping busy like always. Don't really have anything new to report.
Thanks, Colin. Kevin Glendinning, Des Moines County Sheriff.
Good morning. Things are going well at the Sheriff's Office. Reminder to the public, as happens every year, the deer movement is very high. We already had 3 deer accidents this morning. The rut kicks off, and you can just see as it happens. It's also a good indicator for when the hunters for the hunters to go out there. So the deer accidents just go through the roof at this time of year. So just be careful out there. Leave yourself some extra time. Drive slow. Watch for deer. We had promotional tests in our office yesterday. We had 8 of our deputies test for future promotions, and the Civil Service Commission will do those interviews next week. So we'll get a promotional list established for when we have some retirements at the end of the year. We'll be ready for that. And
they're looking for your job?
Not my job, but maybe down the road. Preparing for that. We'll get them ready. And then our jail, for the first time that I can remember, we're at 0 out of county. Jail population's at 64. So
wow.
It's been a while since we've been there, so we're glad to see that happen.
That is good news.
Yes.
So them 64, do you have any getting ready to go up to Oakdale?
I don't know that for sure, but it's usually on a weekly basis. There's usually between 2, 4, 5 that are just ready to go up there. Yeah. But I know last week we had 5 or 6, and they were able to get those gone. So there's almost a constant rotation.
Lisa's getting them weeded out for you.
Yeah.
We do also have one at the detention center because he won't turn 18 until February.
Yeah, so. We have one juvenile, but luckily that's a different budget.
It is a different budget.
$160 a day.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Yep.
Krista Pogan, Miller Public Health.
Good morning. We continue to be busy. We're still having our COVID vaccine drive-through clinics at Southeastern Community Fairgrounds, and that's Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 8:30 to 4. No appointments are necessary. We're giving the Moderna, the Pfizer, and the Johnson & Johnson, and we're the first, second, and boost doses are available. I want to thank the CERT team and Gina and the CERT team for helping us with this. We have a number of volunteers that come out and really appreciate their help as well. And the public health staff, because it's a lot to be out there and doing those drive-through clinics. So really want to thank them for that. We're currently at 14% COVID positivity for our county with 131 cases in the last 7 days. And again, that is 7 days back because it'll be a new number tomorrow. So we're hoping that trends down a little bit. Currently, our vaccination rate for older than 18 in our county is 57%. So it's moving along.
Thank you, Krista.
Thank you.
Jared Lasseter, land use.
Keeping busy as usual. We did have a zoning commission meeting last week to go over the revised subdivision and zoning ordinances that we've been working on for quite some time now. Those have been reviewed by the attorney's office over the summer. I made a few little changes there. We did have a discussion. There were a few items that were recommended, little changes to the text of the ordinance. But ultimately, the commission voted to recommend approval of those ordinances with those specific changes made, which we had discussed in detail. So once we finalize those drafts accordingly, should be coming to the board fairly soon. So we're glad to see that come to fruition here. Other than that, I have one agenda item regarding one of the other ordinances cleaning house. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Jerry. Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. Projects slowed down or wrapped up, so that's a good thing. There is some work going on Pleasant Grove Road. The dirt contractor, FI, has started doing some of the stripping and shaping for the what will be the short paving project. The paving itself won't happen until next spring, which means I don't believe there'll be any full closure this fall either on Pleasant Grove Road. They're just going to work for the next couple weeks, get as much as they can done, and then we'll try to get things buttoned up before we head into winter. So that's going on, whereas obviously the GEO project, there won't be any work on that until enclosure until next spring. Other than that, still working, guys are doing some ditching, plenty of other work blading also now that we've dried back out, getting potholes dealt with. I do want to mention, this came to my attention, I guess, late last week from another county engineer. I had heard rumors about it this summer, but I sure hadn't seen anything like this. So I wanted to mention, I believe the board members received a letter. There is proposal of a pipeline, runs basically from southwest Iowa or northwest Iowa to southeast Iowa. The main trunk line, from what I can understand, is more over into Lee County. But from what I've got, it's a company called Navigator Heartland Greenway LLC, they're proposing the pipeline will transport, they're going to convert carbon dioxide to a liquid form and then transport it in the pipeline. I can't say this has been on my desk very long, so I wanted to mention it. I did get a copy of the letter that they sent to Tom. I don't know if all board members got one, but it just came through at the end of last week. It really, what the main line is not in our county, but they do, there's not a Des Moines County specific map from what I spoke to the Iowa Utility Board yesterday, and there's not a county specific map for any county yet as far as alignment or anything like that. So it's, there's not a lot of information, I guess is what I'm saying. But the kind of the broad view map that I saw, off of that main line, there's a spur that comes up, I'm sure, to the ethanol plant, because I think that's mostly what this is geared towards, and picks up product from the ethanol plant, which is obviously over on the edge of West Burlington. So if this does move forward, it sounds like any pipeline in our county would be coming up from the Skunk River area, kind of off towards the Geode Quarry area, the southwest area, and kind of diagonal up through there. Obviously, the ammunition plant runs through there, and I'm guessing they're not friendly to that, so it's going to be west of the ammunition plant, would be my bet. But as far as specific alignment or anything, there's nothing to be had at this point. I did figure out the website a little bit, that's how I was able to get a copy of this letter. Everything's running through the utility board. I don't quite know for sure that we have a whole lot of say in this, to be county-wise, to be honest with you.
We're supposed to provide an inspector.
Yes, there.
It could be the county engineer. I've already kind of assumed that you have neither the time or the interest to be the inspector on a carbon capture pipeline.
I think there are people more specialized in this that can dedicate more time to it, and I think that's a smart thing to do. Pipelines are very invasive to a very small strip of area wherever they land, whether it be private land. And that's the thing, the inspector, from what I gather from past experiences, inspects everything, private property, public property, anywhere that pipeline runs in that county. I believe there's already some consultants reaching out trying to sell their services. I haven't dove into that yet. I was going to speak to Lee County, because Lee County, this is going to be kind of a double whammy for them, because they got the last big pipeline. And so I was going to speak to Ben down there, the county engineer, and draw off his experience for who they used and how it went and what their thoughts were, and just kind of learn from their experience. Maybe we'll have a work session along the way, because obviously it is the board that technically hires a consultant. Now, the cost of that consultant, as long as it's quote-unquote reasonable in the letter, is covered by the company that's installing the pipeline. So theoretically, that's a zero sum to the county. But it is very important for those farmers or for those landowners to try to end up with the best final product once they're done. So just skimming through the letters, I do want to mention they have set up a meeting date in Des Moines County. They've set up the dates for all the counties that are impacted. The Des Moines County meeting date is December 8th, which I obviously will plan on attending. The letter kind of suggests to try to have the inspector hired before that, is kind of how I read the letter that was sent to the board. I'm going to try to chase that a little bit more. Like I said, I haven't spent a lot of time on this, so I got to kind of wrap my head around it a bit more, so I need to check that out. But December 8th is that meeting date at 12 o'clock, at Loft Events, 416 Jefferson Street, Burlington. I wanted to mention that. You may want to put that into your calendars. It doesn't sound like that's flexible, so.
I think that's the probably a meeting with the utility board, because that's who decides where it finally goes. The everybody in the county gets a little input, but they decide. And I think I forwarded an email to you not long ago. There was one of those consulting companies,
yeah,
an engineering company, that said they've worked with a lot of counties, and I thought maybe you could reach out to some of those.
And I did. I reached out to a lot of ours, and all of them seemed to be happy and content with the person that contacted us. So,
yeah. And like I said, I was going to reach out to Lee County too, and touch base with the engineer, because he basically kind of acted as the go-between with the board, and at that time the board and the consultant that oversaw that process inspection, so get that experience. So like I said, maybe we'll have a work session on this to instead of taking up any more time of this meeting, but it sounds like it's coming. I don't think it's a guarantee, but when I spoke to the lady who was very, very helpful at the Iowa Utilities Board yesterday, it sure sounded like it was probably a pretty sure thing. So
the wording they're using sounds like it's a done deal.
Yeah. So anyway, I wanted to mention it because, like I said, it just kind of landed on my desk, and I did a little bit of time on it yesterday, and we'll talk more and figure things out and work towards a consultant. So
that map where it shows coming into Des Moines County's got two lines going someplace else, looks like, too.
Well, it's got a bunch of lines going different places, yeah. And what I'll do is, I believe I can download a PDF of that, and I'll just send it to you guys or whoever wants it on email, so. I printed it, obviously, but I only brought one, didn't think about, so you're welcome to this one that I printed. The one line that comes up into Des Moines County is all there is. There is a second line that splits off and goes into, I'm guessing, over to the, possibly to the fertilizer plant in Lee County, is my suspicion, but the map is very generic. You're not gonna tell exactly where anything's running on the map, and I think that's probably intentional from what I could tell yesterday. So, anyway, we'll figure it out. I just wanted to mention it, so.
Thank you, Brian.
Yep.
Chris Wheat, Conservation.
Well, nothing really that exciting. We have a board meeting, the biggest thing we're going to go into, board meeting tomorrow night, we've got several things on the agenda. That are gonna be interesting discussion, expect a long one. We're gonna be talking about camping fees, shooting range fees, just to kind of a bunch of different logistic stuff that we've had kind of floating in the background that we wanted to tackle kind of after the season ran down, after we had all of our numbers from camping and stuff. And so, lot to discuss tomorrow night with the board. Anything we do, you know, wouldn't take effect until after the first of the year. But the parks, the Fort Lomax Station and as well as the recreation area, those campgrounds are closed for the most part. The water's off. The gates will be shut down at Welter. We do still have campers in Big Hollow, but the guys, as of yesterday, were shutting off the shower house because it is going to be pretty cold this week, and so we're not going to risk freezing water lines. So we're going to go ahead and I know we got to warm up next week, but folks can come up and still camp without any water. So we'll be shutting that down and moving into fall mode. We will probably be starting burning here pretty soon. We do have a lot of timber burns that we're going to be doing at Big Hollow and other places. We recognize that may affect hunting a little bit, but the long-term return on that is worth the temporary disruption of hunting. And most of that's going to be centered kind of around the campground and right close to the lake, so we don't get way far back in the areas where the deer hunters really like to be. Other than that, just kind of keeping on.
You don't set fire underneath some poor guy in a stand.
And we know how that is kind of this time of year. We'll screen the areas. Like if we see it, there's a truck in the nearby parking lot or something, we'll forego the burn for that day. Just for the reason somebody might be back there and have to eat a bunch of smoke. But most of our stuff's during the week and normally like middle of the day or early afternoon. And so that's not exactly the greatest time. Most times the hunters are out early and late. And so,
next time you go out and sit along the side of the road and let you burn, and you don't have to get out.
Just where the animals come out.
Shoot, I just wait for them to come through.
They go back.
There you go.
Smoke them out.
Thanks, Chris.
Yep.
Janelle Nellie Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Good morning. We're just keeping busy. We did print and out close to 1,400 November delinquent notices as required by code yesterday. That's actually down from what we normally do, so that's a good thing. But other than that, we're just keeping busy.
Thanks, Janelle. Ken Heinemann, Community Services.
Good morning. We had our, on Friday, we had our management team meeting, our monthly management team meeting. And we talked about this Senate File 619 again, and we all, Tammy kind of gave us a spreadsheet of what each county should pay to the fiscal agent from our budgeted amount. We usually divide it into three payments, but anyways, this one's not exactly one-third, but it's $317,000 that I just wrote a transfer sheet from Fund 10 into the fiscal agent fund towards services. By the end of June, if they don't change the legislation, which our regional governing board is going to meet with legislators next month and try and get them to change that legislation, but if that doesn't happen, then we've got to transfer everything from Fund 10, because there's the elimination of Fund 10 in that legislation, into our fiscal agent account. So in June, we'd have to make that final transfer of whatever's left in Fund 10. So we were talking about those kind of issues.
Anybody have any guidance or thoughts on whether, does that have to be a change in the legislation, or is that a change that the Department of Management could just make?
I don't know. You know, the Department of Management guides the auditors, and we were told that DHS guides the regions, and so there's two different people that are overseeing everything, and it's very confusing who we have to get to.
That'll work well.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got your DHS chart from when you were in MHDS, you see that. Crazy. So transactional friction, definitely more transactional friction if we have to switch to this new system of not having fund 10s, having everything out of the fiscal agent account. We're starting to switch our phones over, things like that, like our cell phones. They have to be switched over to the SEAL region rather than from the county, stuff like that. So we're starting to do those little things now just because it's easy enough to do, to get that money from the fiscal agent instead of the county. But before we switch over buildings and vehicles and everything else, it'd be nice for them to change that legislation and make it more like what we're, you know, they're saying no more Fund 10, we're all state funded after July 1. But even there's lots of people that are state funded, lots of agencies that are state funded that don't have to go through all these hoops that they're asking us to go through. So we hope that they will be more that the legislation will become more reasonable, like others who are funded through the state, like BCAP boards and stuff like that. They don't have to jump through all these hoops. So we'll see what our meeting with legislators gets accomplished. So
good luck to us.
Yes.
Thank you, Kim. Uh-huh. Angie Vaughn, safety.
Good morning. We're just keeping busy, working on some policies and procedures, and other than that, I really don't have anything to report.
Thanks, Angie. Natalie Steffner, Des Moines County Reporter.
Good morning. Just a few items on the agenda. Otherwise, business as usual.
Rodney Buesner, Maintenance.
Good morning. Nothing new to report this morning.
Thanks, Rodney. Is there anybody? Okay. I think I missed anybody. Okay, correspondence.
I have one. Des Moines County Freedom Rock, November 13th at 10:30 a.m. It's at City Hall in Mediapolis. Every county now has one of these rocks painted. You guys have probably seen them somewhere before. Meepo jumped the gun and got one. They've got the one for Des Moines County, and they're going to have a program. I was just supposed to bring this to the attention of everybody. Those that care about your freedom.
I think it's right in front of their City Hall, isn't it?
It's right in front of City Hall. They're going to have the Mediapolis Choir is going to be there. They have a great speaker. Would you like to know who that great speaker is?
Yeah.
It's not me. It's Lieutenant Colonel Jason Christ. But I will be given the welcome, the blessing, and the closer. So I'll be there. Not the speaker, but the blesser and the closer. But anyways, those that do want to participate, they don't think they're going to have a really good crowd, but they said if you will at least announce this to the 13 people that watch your show, maybe we'll get
it. In my show. It's our show.
So thanks, Johnny.
What day is it?
It's November 13th at 10:30 a.m. at 510 Main Street, Mediapolis, Iowa. It's right in front of City Hall. The choir's going to close out with America the Beautiful. They're going to do the 21 gun salute taps. It's going to be a phenomenal event. And I'm not the main speaker, mind you, but I am the closer. Did I mention that? But that's all I have.
Can you read that in the correspondence, please?
We have a card. Thank you so much for the generous donation to our community's library museum. With donations such as yours, we will continue to offer a first-class library to our community, as well as educate our young people about the atrocities of the Holocaust. Sincerely, the Danville Station Committee. I need some stamps up here. I just noticed I don't have any.
Oh, sorry. Guess that would be helpful, wouldn't it?
The county annually gives $10,000 to the Danville Station Library in Anne Frank Museum. Did you want to see that one?
That's a... The other day I was there under the... Well, it's been about 3 weeks ago. There was a school from Spokane, Missouri up there at Danville Station. Going through the Holocaust stuff. They're going from Missouri, they're going all around Iowa.
Sidetracked.
You know, it's nice that we can support something like that. A lot of history.
Okay. Well, we'll stamp that correspondence when you guys are done. We'll proceed to discussion and vote. We have accounts payable claim in the amount of $1,051,691.04.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Mr. Carter, about 3/4 of that would be a rock wall.
That could help. We will have rock for next year.
Okay, we have payroll reimbursement claims in the amount of $841.75 and non-cash taxable reimbursements in the amount of $219.38. I move that we approve payroll reimbursement claims.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. The second public hearing for the update to the Des Moines County ATV, UTV ordinance. So we need a
move to go on public hearing.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane Campbell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. This is, we had the first public hearing last week. This was the some updates and changed the ordinance to meet some new state definitions and improvements as recommended by the sheriff and the recorder. Again, I would ask if anybody mind waiving the reading of the ordinance.
Right on.
It's
not a long one, Tom.
seeing no objection, we will waive the actual reading of that. Is there any public comment regarding this amendment to the ordinance? Did the auditor's office receive any emails?
No, we have not received any request for information or anything. So.
Okay. We will give individuals that are watching this online 2 minutes to make a comment. You may email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's B-O-A-R-D at dmcounty.com. You may call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. If you'd like to make a comment on this amendment to the ATV ordinance. we've got a time log we'll run through, but removed flotation tire vehicle, or removed flotation tire, that's changed the definition, changed the weight to 1,200 pounds from 1,000 pounds. Uh, on ATV with the passenger registration requirements, remove the proof of insurance that's already required to give a license for the. And the sheriff may revoke, suspend or revoke the permit upon evidence of, anyway, that was moved to another section of the ordinance, so there's it's not very substantial. Yes?
Will you be posting that letter online?
The ordinance?
Yeah.
The I believe it's on there. I think we have a copy of it on there. I'll have to double check.
I think when you have to announce the hearing, don't you have to publish
that? Now we have our website, we post public hearings on there, and we put documents on there. So I'll have to check, but I'm pretty sure I attached the revised ordinance. But once it gets formally approved, we'll tack that on there too. So I think we have a section just for ordinances, so we'll try to get that on there.
And then it will be recorded in the recorder's office.
Bob, you didn't come to comment on the ATV ordinance, did you?
True, I did not.
Okay. Well, anybody here sitting close here? Public hearing.
Wouldn't that be closed public hearing?
Sorry. Terry.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. As we discussed last week, we can, if someone makes a motion to approve this, we can waive the third hearing in the same ordinance. So.
Go ahead.
I move that we waive the second reading and approve the ordinance.
And approve the ordinance.
The third hearing.
I move that we waive the third hearing, Terry, and approve the ordinance.
Okay.
Perfect.
Ready for the vote? Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. Scrivener's error on the when we passed the ordinance for the amended floodplain, and we're correcting that, I believe, at the request of the county attorney or something.
We discussed that with Trent at the attorney's office, and the recommendation that since it's a technically would be a substantive change that was not incorporated into the original ordinance, we could consider an amendment.
Okay, we need a public hearing.
Will we go into public hearing?
Second. Terry.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. this is a, like I said, it's a scrivener's error. It was something left out of the original ordinance, so this is an amendment to that. If anybody would like to make a comment or a question regarding this amendment to the ordinance, you may email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. Board, that's board@dmcounty.com. Or call 319-753-8203 extension 4. That's 319-753-8203 extension 4. We'll give you a couple minutes to initiate that call or email. Anybody in attendance have any comments or questions regarding?
Just give a quick background here. So it's basically relating to the how the ordinance defines the jurisdiction for the ordinance and the permitting process. So the unusual thing in this case is that there are a series of firm panels from the FEMA maps for floodplains, which are along the Mississippi River and the Two Rivers Levee Drainage District, which back when the previous set of floodplain maps was approved in 2015, those went into effect. They incorporated a study from Klinger and Associates looking at the internal drainage ways within the drainage district, because the land is so flat that the basic study that was initially done through FEMA identified more of the land as being within a 100-year floodplain, as was reasonably the case based on the capacity of the drainage system. So that was accommodated in those previous maps. The problem being that now that there was a different methodology for establishing the maps from the 2018 study, which used the LIDAR high-resolution imagery, it would essentially be back to square one with that drainage area, because of the flat topography. So there was a decision made between FEMA and the DNR to basically just renew those existing maps from 2015 from that part of the county. And as a result, the way we had technically worded it here in terms of the saying that the firms dated October 21st, 2021, technically could be interpreted as excluding those panels that were dated 2015. So we had the specific change here is to add the firm index number, the map that displays all of the firm panels. It still includes the October 2021 date, but that's now referring to the index map as opposed to the individual maps on that, and as a result, that incorporates every one of those individual panels. So it's just a minor addition of text, but it evidently makes quite a bit of difference in terms of interpreting what the full jurisdiction of that ordinance is. So
we all know how lawyers are.
Thank you, Chair.
Move to go out of public hearing.
Second. You didn't get any emails, right?
No.
Okay.
No,
I didn't get any either.
Okay. Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
Move to approve the amended floodplain ordinance number 25.
Second. Well, we should have the second hearing, and then we can. Okay. Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Okay. Approving the amendment to the Iowa land records. This is according to House File 527. Should I read this, or do you want to explain this?
So I guess from my understanding, it's a technical change. So this is a Iowa County Recorders Association and the ESS committee, which is also known as Iowa Land Records. I think the original 28E agreement was done 15 years ago. That's when we started recording records online. So this is made with encouragement of the state auditor's office and will reduce the liability and exposure to county recorders. The change also allows contracts to be managed through the 28E organization instead of through the County Recorders Association. So it's gonna take some of that liability off of them. And I think just a better way for them to use some of the funds, because it was pretty strict on how they could use those. So I think, and the County Recorders Association do recommend the approval of it.
Thank you, Natalie. So, Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. And we have a renewal of the agreement. of the 10-year agreement we have with the Burlington Media Atlas Libraries. There's no, we will have a 2080 once we agree to this in principle. I met with the library boards Thursday, Friday. Anyway, and so agreed to extend a 10-year agreement with the Burlington Media Atlas Libraries for the agreement is a 2% increase in contract fees annually. And pretty much the same. There'll be separate 2080s. They'll have one with the county, one with West Burlington, Middletown. I don't believe they have an agreement, or I know they don't have an agreement with Danville. So if we agree with this in principle, we will send a 2080 to the attorney to make sure it's all up to the way it should be. So, is there any discussion?
Well, I've got my own thought on this.
Let it out, Jim. Let it out.
I'm a resident of Danville. Danville's got their own library that they're paying for. They've got the Anne Frank Museum there. If you haven't been there, you ought to go look at it and see it. We let Burlington people go there because it's history and everything. If Burlington had this instead of us, Danville people couldn't go see it, but everybody could. I think it's time that the library board in Burlington includes Danville in their county. Everybody in the county can go there except the residents of Danville. Now our city council refuses to pay because they've got their own library. But we invite you people in Burlington to come out and look at our display in our library. That's all I'm gonna say. That's my feeling, and that's because I am a resident of Danville.
As a county supervisor, I respect what Jimmy's saying, and I think we all ought to be able to use each other's stuff. We're a region together. I think that has merit. I'll leave it at that for now. But
I hadn't been here very long to negotiate the first contract we had with those libraries. And just as a refresher, the issue is that if you're a Danville citizen, for a Danville citizen to use the Duane Public Library, the city of Danville has to pay the library. An individual citizen can't get a membership in the library. So I know that's been a hard feeling when it first came about. I know there was issues with West Burlington. West Burlington finally agreed in Middletown, and it was a little bit tense for a little while 10 years ago when the county went through these negotiations. But that being said, and I don't disagree, I would like to see the library board reach out to Danville, but I'm not on that board. I think the 2% increase in a 10-year, agreement with Minneapolis and Danville or in Burlington libraries, I think that's fair to both sides. That issue, the other issue aside, I would recommend that we agree to this in principle.
I agree to it.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Abstain?
Well, I'll second it then. Terry?
Shane McCampbell?
Aye.
Tom Broker?
Yes.
And Jim Carrey?
Same.
Appreciate your passion on that, Jimmy.
I understand where you're coming from. I'll get that 2080 to you, and you take a look at it. Then when you've gone through it, then we can run past the board again. Okay. We have a personnel action for the recorder's office.
we have Jennifer Patterson, a first deputy. This first deputy 6 month step increase. The previous rate was $46,194.02. The new rate is $48,300.97.
Move to approve.
Who authorized this? I second.
Second. You might have to go back and look at that page.
Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yeah.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
Okay. We have reports. We have the jail statistics for September 2021 and the Dewey Buyer Trust account information from for the quarter ending September 30th, 2021. These reports will be on file at the auditor's office, available for public review. We have minutes for the regular meeting of October 26th, 2021.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Aye.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Any other business?
I did have one more business that I should have been correspondence, Thomas. I already mentioned it to you. I didn't get a chance to speak with Colin. But I did get receive a correspondence from the three people that watched. They said they really want to hear what the department heads are saying. They could hear us, but they can't hear everybody else. So is there any way we can get a passing microphone or something so that they could hear the department heads a little better? Colin, I hate to put you on the spot like that, but I'm putting you on the spot like that, Colin.
Technically, yes, we could. I made a bunch of changes about a year and a half ago to really up the volume in here, so that kind of worked. And it seemed like at that time it was working really well, so I'd be interested to see. I can go through some of our meetings a little more and make sure everyone's being able to be heard. The only time it really is an issue is semis going down the road that picks up and
what's the noise the semis make again?
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
That
sometimes the air conditioning that up there, the hum. Technically, yes, we could. There did definitely be a cost to do that, but if that's something the board wants to look at, we can do that.
Yeah, it was Green says he can pay for it out of his.
I had one thing too I forgot to mention. I'm just reminded of it. The DOT is in their contractors back in the county doing some wrap-up work on the paving before wintertime, and they will be closing Pleasant Grove intersection and Dodgeville intersection to put some temporary concrete back into the there's a small gravel area at each intersection where they tore out. It's mostly potholes right at the moment. They'll be tearing that out and putting temporary concrete in, which will be torn back out next year. But I told the DOT, and they agreed with me, that it wasn't acceptable to leave it in the condition it was through the wintertime. So I want to mention that closure will start tomorrow.
What's that intersection, Pleasant Grove and
Pleasant Grove and Dodgeville, the two paved intersections up in that area.
So you want to take 190 up?
So anyway, it'll close tomorrow and be closed for roughly 10 days. Although if the weather stays decent, I could see it opening next week pretty easy.
Anything from them on Upper Flint?
That is part of their responsibility that they're supposed to. The DOT has given them three priorities, main priorities, to get done or at least temporarily open, I'm going to call it, before, and that is one of them. So last I was told, I don't have anything different, is that it should get paved and open through the winter. It will not be completed. There will probably be a closure again next year to finish some other work. They have told me they'll try to get it paved and connected, but there'll probably be additional work next year. So yes, that was what we had a very, and the DOT has been proactive with the contract. I'll give them credit, but I had a pretty direct conversation with the DOT about a month ago about some stuff that just wasn't acceptable going into wintertime. And I guess that they agreed. It should get done. Also, the number one priority is paving and getting the crossover that's just on the north edge of town where the curb and gutter is. They've figured out they can't plow snow very well through there with their equipment because of the curb and gutter and head-on traffic. So they're trying to get some paving extended and get a different crossover put in where they don't have curb and gutter for winter maintenance. That's their number one priority. I'm told that Upper Flint is the number two priority. And then, of course, some of the small stuff like the intersections, because they don't want to maintain it. I told them it was going to be on them for the wintertime. So it should get done. That's the last I was told. And they're supposed to be back in the county as we speak, starting to work up some paving operations. So
they were up on 61 just north of Burlington this morning. So
yeah. So you should see activity. I've been down there, and they have that pretty close to ready for paving. So I believe that they will get it paved.
Just so everybody, including our viewers, are aware, the county has very little leverage over the DOT.
Well, or their contractor.
Or their
contractor. That is all their project. I do want to give the DOT credit. I won't claim I've loved everything that's gone on, but they have been responsive. That's a really nice, the district has seen some changes in the last year, I'm going to say, and the responsiveness to concerns has really improved. So the contractor, they have the paving contractor in particular, has the work shortage, the worker shortage has really hit them hard this year, which is an excuse, but it's what they use. And then COVID clipped them. I think they had 25% of their employees out there for one stretch here about a month ago. So they've been slowed up, and either way, they are going to come back and get some of this stuff hooked back up and up as one of them. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Future agenda items. I think we've got a couple work sessions coming up, the 16th and the 23rd. One, the 16th is for that request of qualification
for
construction RFPs. Manager, and then housing on
the... Housing is will be on the
23rd. I was thinking Mike said he wasn't available the 16th.
Yeah.
So it would be the week after that.
I've got it written down.
Okay,
there,
and
so.
You. That's all I've got. Committee reports.
I have none.
I've got nothing. Yeah. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, you may email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's B-O-A-R-D @dmcounty.com. You may call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. We'll give you a couple minutes to initiate that email or a phone call. In the meantime, is anybody in attendance have any? Would like to address the board?
I would.
Okay.
I want to do it as a citizen, not as a supervisor. I think you gentlemen made a good decision on a 2% for 10 years for the Burlington Library. I just wanted to let you know that.
I appreciate that, and I'm sure Shane does, but
yeah.
I know where you're coming from. We had a lot of those discussions 10 years ago.
So.
I certainly respect your opinion.
Yeah. I'd like to talk to Shane and Brian briefly afterwards.
Okay.
We're gonna have a
closed session for a little while, but anyway, you're okay.
It was all Shane's fault.
We all know.
It's always Shane's fault.
It's always Brian's fault. When did this get switched to me?
When the bridge opened.
Who said the bridge opened?
That person behind her.
Okay.
That person behind us.
Let me change that. If I email you after the meeting, will you respond today?
Yeah, I'll look for it. I'll be rolling all day, man. Selection day.
He didn't say he's gonna respond, Bob. He said he'll look. Two different things.
I love you, Jimmy. I got you. Well, we got about 10 seconds left, so I guess I can throw a comment out here. Just while you're mostly all here, I've been telling people, I said, the county has as good a collection of elected officials and department heads as I'm really proud of all you guys, proud of your departments and the work you do. I'm confident I don't say that enough, and it's not that I don't think about it, that's usually the way my mouth or mind runs. But anyway, but I you should know that. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Just to confirm, he even mentioned that to me when I just got on. He says, you know, you're going to find out. We really got a good staff. And that's always good to know coming into something.
Okay. Takes your public input. We need a motion to go into closed section for Iowa Code 21-5, paragraph 1, subparagraph J. Is that how they say that, Lisa?
Yep.
Okay.
Section 1, subparagraph J.
Section 1, subparagraph J, okay.
Move to go into closed session for that.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Thanks for coming. Probably don't want to sit around and wait for it to come back and say we're adjourned. But
I move that we go out of closed session.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Okay. With an aye, we're adjourned.
Aye.
We're adjourned.